Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, the number one live audio culinary industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner, award-winning chef, TV host and global icon, and national treasure,
at least in his mind,
Chef Plum. So close that saute station, make sure the grill is off, and grab that shift drink, because we're about to mess up your mise en place. Here's Chef Plum.
Yeah. What's happening, everybody? Special Thursday night edition here of the program. I still love the intro, man. I think it's fun. I'm enjoying that. The music's good, too. It's a little bit different. I think we're going to do, like you heard last week on the program, had kind of a fun intro there with some movie clips. So I think you'll know that's the difference when we're doing that kind of show. When it's a regular show, it'll be the regular intro. But I don't know. Working on some new things. What's going on? How's everybody? Hope you're doing well. Hope your week is fantastic. Hope your week has found you in a good spot. As we get closer and closer to the holidays, man. Closer and closer. I know it's a weird time of year for all of us, especially those of us in the catering business, the private chefing business, and those of us doing, all of those culinary mercenary things, or even those of us who work in restaurants. But tonight, I'm joined by none other than Chef Rob Prado to help me out here tonight. Robbie, what's up, man? How are you? Been a minute.
How you doing, Plum?
I'm good, man. You listen, it's funny because I'm asking you how you're doing, but I talk to you probably once a day.
Yeah. It actually has been a minute since we talked last.
Literally, right? Literally 1 minute.
Literally, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Man. Dude, how are you, man? What's good with the holidays, man? You guys ready to go, or is that a dumb question?
No, we're actually surprisingly, we're locked and loaded. Everybody's got we have a ton of holiday parties for little ones and shuffling kids around and stuff. But doing that between work is always an interesting. Wearing both hats this time of year, but I think we got everything else ready to go, and we're just waiting for the big man to come.
Well, and it's happening soon, and I tell you what, every year I try to catch him, and my kids try to, like, you know, because I'm kind of into being, like, a survivalist and, that sort of thing, and my kids are always trying to talk me into, like, setting traps to try to catch him, and it never worked. They've never worked, but, I mean, I set them for them, and we figured them out, but the traps never freaking work, dude.
Well, it's magic, man. You can't beat magic.
I don't know. Maybe. I like to think of myself as I'm magic, but maybe I'm not. Not magic enough.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to catch the guy, man.
Maybe they'd be bad. Might make a lot of kids mad. Anyway, everybody, welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your boy, Chef Plum. Of course, joined tonight by Chef Rob Prado. Make sure you find him on Instagram at Chef Robert Prado, P-R-A-D-O, on Instagram. You can check him out there. And, Robbie, we've got a lot going on, man. We've got a big event that's kind of coming to a head. It all started here on this program.
Yes, sir. The 28th, we're going to be cooking for the fine men and women of the U.S. Navy in New London. And, man, I'm excited, man. We got some good product coming in and a very talented team of people. And I think we're going to do some great things.
Hey, I'll tell you what. We'll talk more about it in a second. But I think our guest is hanging out with us tonight. I'm going to get him to be a part of it next year.
That sounds awesome, man.
He's a good brother to have on there. For those of you who don't know, we got our good friend Big Chef Kev Dees going to join us tonight talking a little bit, but we'll bring him on in a second. But this event, man, I mean, it's gone from being a conversation on the radio show here to becoming, I mean, literally it's become a kind of a mind of its own. Like, we ended up, a whole TV show is happening because of this, and we're doing the radio show live there, and there's music acts. I mean, it's kind of gotten crazy.
Yeah, didn't you say the last year's American Idol winner is going to be there?
I haven't given that up yet, but yes, that's the big announcement tonight.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Sorry, man, it's cool. Listen, so the fun part, though, what he's talking about, you guys, is that 2 years ago, American Idol winner Nick Frattiani is coming to be our main event music guy, man, which is pretty fucking cool. I'm excited about that. What are you doing? You eating a water bottle there? It sounds like it.
Yeah.
But he's coming on, man. Nick's coming to join us, man. He's performed live. It's really, really exciting to have him there. And it's just funny because when you start doing things for the military, it doesn't take a whole lot of convincing for people. You kind of just tell them. And so far, for the most part, everyone's been on board.
I mean, why wouldn't they want to be on board?
That's what I would think. But, you know, you'd be surprised. I guess some people just, I don't know. Everyone's been really cool about it. I'm happy that Nick's coming, so it's us and Nick, and it's just I mean, honestly, it's a great event. It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if it's a great event. It's going to be a great event. I'm going to make sure it's a great event, but we got a great plan in place. We're making some amazing food. We're going to do a bunch of barbecuing. Our good friend Grill Mama's coming down to help us. Our good friend Antonio Olive Jr. from Backdraft Barbecue. He's a firefighter, dude, and he's coming out with his big Myron Mixon smoker, and he's a competition guy, so it'll be a lot of fun to have him there. And dude, it's gonna be dope.
I'm so excited to work with everybody and do this for the servicemen who can't be home with their families this year.
It's all about.
It's making me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Well, speaking of warm and fuzzy, that's what the holidays do. But you know who else makes me feel warm and fuzzy?
Tickle Me Elmo.
No, a terrible joke, but our good friend, you know, he was on the show here before. We had him on and had a couple technical difficulties, but I wanted to bring him back just to kind of, you know, make good on it because I felt bad about it. Hey, he's a good brother, man. Chef Kev D, the author of Beyond My Chef Coat, is joining us today. Chef is all over the place, man. He just got done doing an event tonight, as a matter of fact. He spent some time in the car driving home and hanging out with us, man. Kev, you with me, brother?
I'm here. How we doing, guys?
There he is, man. Good to hear your voice, brother. How are you?
Yeah, Chef.
Everything's good. Just getting off an event, headed home, and looking forward to catching up with you guys.
Bro, let me ask you this question, man, because I know you got kids. Do your kids ever make you set traps to catch Santa?
No, my little ones are still too young. It's only 1 and 2, so they're just kind of getting the idea. The 2-year-old's starting to get the grip right now of it, but the 1-year-old has no clue yet.
All right, well, you're good then, man. My kids, I mean, I've got tripwires set up. Like, they want me to start a week early. I'm like, we can't. I'll fall. Like, we can't do that in our house. What's wrong with you?
I don't think you want to catch him. You want to see him, give him a high five, maybe do a shot of Bailey's and let him be on his way.
Dude, should we leave a shot of Bailey's for Santa? I've never heard of that. That's what we should do. Rob, that might be the trick.
I think if you want to catch him, you got to put some whiskey in that milk.
Whiskey and milk? Doesn't that curdle or no?
I don't know. Maybe if enough of us do it, maybe one of us will catch him.
At least we think we will. How about that? Kev, how's your season been, man? You guys been busy for the holidays?
Oh, so busy. I'm just wrapping up a pretty long stretch right now. And after tomorrow, I got a few days off for Christmas, which is unheard of. But it's I'm looking forward to it.
Nah, man, that's what we do when you work for yourself. Bro, I finished out my long stretch yesterday. I had a crazy, crazy long stretch, and I'm done. I have to do one little small client in the city next Tuesday or next Monday, and then I'm done till our big Navy event. So it's awesome. I'm excited about that. That's why we work for ourselves, man, so we can make those schedules, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's time consuming, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, I was on a rooftop in Boston last night, the night before at a wine school, and tonight I was at like an old tavern from the 1800s doing an event for 20 people. So, I mean, it's really fun. You get to do a lot of different type events like that.
You know, the tough part about it is, too, man, because, you know, the guys like, you know, the three of us here, that, you know, once you've kind of experienced that lifestyle of, you know, that end of our business, man, it's really hard to go back to running a restaurant, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've had two opportunities over the last few weeks to to open my own restaurant. And, you know, you get that itch for a minute, and then you're like, you know, that would kind of be a step back. We work so hard to get out of that lifestyle that now I want to deal with dishwashers not showing up and broken equipment and, you know, crazy holiday parties and stuff like that. I mean, I enjoy being able to make my own schedule at this point.
But then, you know, you have guys like, you know, our buddy Robbie here. Robbie's kind of looking to get back into that at some point in time, man. Rob, you kind of miss it a lot, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's, I mean, it's fun to be the captain of the pirate ship. And I don't know, man. I feel like to some extent the private chef thing is great, but I feel like in some ways you're salary capped, and you know, where you do have that potential to grow and expand. And when it's a restaurant, it can become something bigger than you. Whereas when it's just the private chef thing, it's just you, and it's as big as you can make it. And you know, we're only one person, so.
I don't know, man. I think I've made more money as a private chef than I ever did, even, you know, running a hotel. Kev, what about you?
I agree 100% because, I mean, basically you're running a business without any overhead right now. You know, there's no lease and, no, you know, 15 other things that we have to pay for. All the food, and you're using the client's kitchen, and everything's baked into the cost. So it's kind of like...
it's not a bad gig.
It's definitely good, man. And, you know, Kev, I was actually really excited to talk to you because Plum and I are talking, and you've definitely figured some things out logistically that I would love to pick your brain on and learn from your experiences.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I was in restaurants for 25 years, and when I started doing all the Food Network Today Show stuff, which is just kind of like the fun bonus part, started getting offers like, hey, come to Killington for a week and be our private chef, or come here, and I could never do it. I was like, you know, I'm in a restaurant 6 days a week. There's no way.
Right.
But then you get enough, you're like, maybe we could actually do this. And it's all about just taking the leap and then, you know, push as hard as you can.
And it pays the bills, too. That's the cool thing about it when you get there. So just a little backstory for Kev, man. So Rob actually lives in Montauk, and Rob was going to come hang out with us that night that we were hanging out there, but he couldn't come out. And he grew up out there, and so that's where Rob and I became buddies. And he's a great chef, man. He's a talented guy. And, you know, he's a guy who's done a lot of great things out there. So maybe this summer at some point, brother, we all got to all get together and have a beer.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been doing more and more out there every year. I think I did like a dozen events out there last year. But it's definitely a cool area. A lot of fun events going on.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So listen, man, let me ask you this. So with the holiday party situation, so... You know, with me, I had some pretty big ones this my little stretch here, and holiday parties are fun. It's a time of year where you can kind of make a little bump in extra money there, especially if you're doing, you know, the outside stuff. But even in a restaurant situation, you know, I mean, it's definitely an opportunity to make a little extra money when it comes to that sort of thing. But let me ask you this, Kev. If you were going to give a client, right, a potential client, or all the clients out there, one piece of advice that would be like that when you talk to them is a red flag, right? So when they talk to you, don't say this because it's an immediate red flag. What would that be?
Are you available tonight? My biggest piece of advice is book early. The earlier they book, the more you can hammer out all the details, get everything dialed up. A lot of times in the holidays, people are like scrambling around. Oh, shit, I want to do a company party. There's only one day, 2 days available. Can you do it tomorrow? And that's when stuff starts to get hectic. I mean, we always pull it off, and it's always great. But if you can book early, start thinking about that stuff like Thanksgiving time, and then get it on the books. Get the menu done. Figure out, because I'm walking into a kitchen, I have no idea what's there. I'm trying to plan a menu, you know, maybe the oven doesn't fit sheet pans. It's like you need a little time to make it. I mean, we always make the perfect event, but with a little lead time makes all the difference. So book early is the easiest thing I can say.
Yeah, get in there and try to get that planned out as soon as you can. Because, I mean, listen, I think every time you do a party, there's going to be a problem. It's just a matter of, you know, making sure the client doesn't know there's a problem.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with the three of us, with all the experience that we have, we can throw an event together and make it great.
Oh, yeah.
But with a week lead time, you know, I can make your perfect menu. We can figure out exact logistics and just make it completely as smooth as possible. Because there's always a hiccup, you know. But you just work the problem and move on.
No doubt about it. Rob, what do you think, man? What's a piece of advice you would give a client, like a red flag that when you talk to them?
I find that as soon as they start saying, well, you know, can we do we have to have that? Do we really need a server? Do we really?
Right.
And they're adding people and taking your tools away. That's when I'm like, all right, you know, you can't afford this, or you know, you want something, but you know, you don't completely understand what it is or what it takes to accomplish that. You know, or the other one is, oh well, we're gonna supply, we're gonna make this for you guys. That's another one where I'm like, no.
I mean, those are definite red flags for sure. I think my biggest one is when they say, oh no, we want to help. We'll help do dishes and we'll help do all this stuff. First of all, I don't want any of that ever happening because it's your party. Enjoy yourself. But when they start saying that, you know it's not. I mean, that for me, that's a giant red flag, Kev.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? Well, because their food's probably not going to be as good as yours unless it's, you know, their grandmother's making meatballs or something like that. Okay, I get it. But at the same time, you want to be in control of everything because, you know, if somebody's not happy with something and it wasn't yours, they don't always know that. So, I mean,
right.
You want to have control over all the food.
You're going to get the heat for it if they don't like it, no matter what, whether it's yours or not.
Exactly, 100%.
I mean, when they start bringing out the, no, we don't need to get a server. You know, I don't think we need to bring a server because we can help you do dishes or we can help put things away. Rob, you're right on point with that. I think that's where when they start saying they don't need a server, the next thing out of their mouth is generally we can help.
Yeah. And the average person doesn't know how many dishes come with a party of 40 people at four courses. Like, oh, shit, we probably should have had a server.
Yeah.
Well, you're the professional, Jeff Plum, because you know, you're not going to really – you don't want to pay a server extra. You don't want to bring them if you don't need them. You're putting them on there because there's a need for it.
Right. I mean, if I bring them, it's going to be money on me, you know? I have to pay for them. So, hey, listen, so when you guys quote parties, let me ask you this. So do you do it, Kev, if you called me for a party, it would be all inclusive. I would say, okay, you know, here's what the party costs. The only thing I don't include is rentals and gratuity and wine. Unless you want me to help with that, then we can talk about that. But I like to give one flat rate if everything. How do you guys do it?
Yeah, I mean, I generally do a flat rate. I don't include gratuity or rentals or anything like that. But and if the bigger they get, I will start to add like a charge for a server just because I want to make sure that the client's paying for them rather than me. So, you know, if they add but
generally like, in that fee though, wouldn't you just include your server in that fee?
Yeah, I mean, the only time I don't is when it's like on the fence and then they end up adding a couple people where you would need a server. And then I would say, okay, there's an X amount fee for a server. But generally, I try to bake everything but gratuity into it.
Yeah, yeah. And Rob, what about you, man?
So I usually have I line itemize everything. It's very similar. I mean, if it's a big enough party and I know that I need a server or kitchen help, I put that right into my rate and go from there. So
yeah, I like to rather just have it, here's what it costs for the party, and then in the end that's what it is and they know what to expect, and then, you know, we take it from there. And then obviously I always put, and just for those of you who don't know, you need to tip your caterer. Always tip the caterer. Some people don't know that.
Is there a difference between private chef and catering company? Because some people don't know that either.
That's a great point, brother.
I mean, it's private chef is one guy generally. Your catering company, you got a crew, you got dishwashers, you got a van, you got, you know, so it's a little different. But I would say tip all of them for sure. But just know who you're working with, because some people think that a private chef happens to be a catering company also, which is not the case. Because as private chefs, we're coming to your house, we're using your kitchen, and we're preparing your meal there. Where a lot of times a caterer will do that at their industrial kitchen and bring it to you and set it up. So, I mean, there's a few different little nuances between the two.
I've actually found that on Long Island, there are several catering companies that are, like, moonlighting as private chefs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's almost becoming like a boutique catering. Like if you're a private chef, you're like a boutique caterer.
Right. Right. So like what I do is generally I'll have, so like I did a party of 50 this past, I think it was Saturday night or whatever. Let's just say Saturday night. And I brought a bartender, I brought two servers, and I brought a kitchen guy. So I had a crew of five, including myself, right? And so what we do is like, you know, I have all that. Here's how much all that costs. Like I put that into my bill. Like, here's how much that costs. Then what we do is I always put, you know, gratuities not included or whatever, but I don't know how you guys feel about it, but what do we do with gratuity then is we take the gratuity and we split it five ways because everybody's working. That's what we do. And, you know, for me, that almost sometimes I may quote a touch lower for a party, but the gratuity makes up for it in the end. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I try the way when it's just me, I try to make it so the gratuity covers my travel, my food, and everything like that. And then, you know, the cost you get is the cost you get. So that's kind of the formula that works for me.
Yeah.
If you get a nice gratuity and it covers your food and travel and all that, then the rest is, in essence, should be profit.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I mean, I don't ever charge for travel either because I think that that's a mistake for them. Unless someone contacts you, then you can charge for travel. But for the most part, if you're doing a party for somebody, I think you got to kind of rope that cost in there. You know, if you're not gonna charge a bunch of money to travel, then don't do the party. You know,
right.
You rope that. Yeah,
get somebody local. If that's, you know, like that. That's, I think that separates the men from the boys. Those who are willing to travel.
Right.
What's the skin off my back if I got to drive 2 or 3 hours each way? I'm still making in a day, you know, what I'd make in a week in a restaurant.
Exactly.
So look at one day. You know, right. It doesn't matter if I have to, if I'm driving into the city or taking a ferry to Long Island or whatever it may be. You know, I don't charge for that unless somebody wants to fly me to Palo Alto or something like that when it's a huge expense. That's a little different.
Right, but, right. But if somebody in the Hamptons wants you for a party, okay, cool. You know, let's do it. And you're going to charge for it, but there won't be like a line item that says travel cost.
It's your part of your job to get there.
Right. That's the way it goes. That's part of the deal, right?
Yep.
You know, so there you go. So listen, when I'm doing things like this, and Rob, are you kind of on board with all the same? Do you agree with this? Like, I meant to ask you what you think about, you know, gratuity.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been in situations.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Where I've done stuff and they don't tip. I think it kind of depends on the scenario and how much. You know, I was in a scenario not this summer, the summer before, where, you know, I was super busy running the restaurant and I had a client reach out and they were, you know, one of those clients that it was a, you know, celebrity personality. I didn't want to say no to it. So I kind of made it happen. Was like, I can do, you know, breakfast at this time, but I got to leave by, you know, 7 to be where I need to be. And I can do lunch, you know, on this day. And I kind of pieced everything together through it. I did not have a lot of face-to-face time with them I didn't really interact with them. I came in, did my thing, kind of left, you know, amazing spreads in their rental house. They paid me very, very well. There was not a tip. Like, there was no gratuity. But I was kind of okay with that because I didn't really have to interact with them. It didn't bother me there. But then I've had other scenarios where, you know, I have, you know, it says right on the bottom of the bill, you know, gratuity is, you know, greatly appreciated. And you do a kick-ass party, everybody's super happy, and they're like, here you go. And there's nothing, and you're like, wait, what? What did I do?
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, in a lot of cases, I've set it up where I'm making enough money, where I've made enough money for, you know, what I've put out there that day, and I've found that it's not really worth getting yourself upset over.
Right.
You know, at the level that, you know, I know you and I have talked and where we're at and what we're charging, and from the little bit I've researched, Chef Kev, I believe he's on a similar, if not higher, plane there.
Same category. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think that, you know, like he was saying, it's, it separates the men from the boys. I mean, listen, we all want to get a good, you know, be there and do a good job, but I think usually it's because people are not educated that they should do so.
Yeah, I think so. So our man, Chief Jeremy Flake, is chiming in right now in the chat, and he's saying he likes to add 20% to the contract just outright. Like, here's 20% to the contract. You know, I'll tell you my thoughts on doing that, and Kev, I'd like to know what you think. I think sometimes, like, if you do that, you may actually shortchange yourself a little bit, Kev. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be one or two that either just don't know because, I mean, it could be a special thing for them. They've never done it before, getting a private chef. So there's going to be one or two of those that just maybe think it's all included. I mean, look, I put a line right in there when I'm doing the you know, the quoting stages in parentheses that gratuities never expected but always appreciated. So there it is in black and white. So they know up front, it's in the back of their head, okay, you know, I have to tip. And generally, I mean, it's usually pretty good. So, I mean, I would never add it just to add it unless it was some kind of strange situation. But, I mean, I leave that to them. I try to do a great enough job where they're blown away and they want to be like, you know, they want to give you a tip. So, I mean, that's the way I look at it.
But there are sometimes still the occasional people who just don't even know that they should. Like, they just don't understand that. They don't live in that world that ever think that that's something they should do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if they're paying a lot to have a chef come to their house and do a party of 10, they're just assuming that, hey, you know, I paid X amount, you know, and they've never done it before, so they're not right. Thinking about the gratuity side. So, you know, I generally don't get mad if there's one or two that don't, because then it always comes out in the wash. Then there's right. One that really goes over the top. I mean, I do one every year on a lake in Bow, New Hampshire, where there's three men, it's like a party of 10, their wives and everybody, but all three guys pull me aside and tip me without telling, hey, don't tell so-and-so, I tell, you know, right, so right. I had three times the tip, so it's like, okay, this all works out, you know, so I just kind of roll with it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man. I mean, you know, I think some people are curious about the actual dollar amounts, and you guys don't have to talk, but I'll give an example. You know, that's a personal question, but I'm getting it here on the chat, curious about dollar amounts. And I'll give an example. You know, so generally, it depends on how much work goes into a party. But, you know, if you're keeping numbers straightforward, keeping it simple, you know, I try to make, you know, if I'm doing, I try to make 50%, basically. So if I'm charging $1,000 for a party, and I'm just throwing simple numbers out there, you know, I expect to make $500. You know, again, just simple numbers plus gratuity. I mean, does that sound, am I crazy with that, guys? Or that's kind of my numbers.
Yeah, everyone is different. Look, I
exactly.
mean,
that's the hard part.
Some you're willing to do for X amount per person. Some you want a bulk rate, really.
It depends on time of year, too. I mean, this time of year right now, I'm charging more now because it's the holiday season than I will in February, you know?
Right, everything, and menu's a factor. And, I mean, there's all right. kinds of things that go into it. So it's like, some you find yourself making a lot more than you think you would, and others you're like, it's a ton of work and maybe don't make as much. So it's just kind of like, you know, that's kind of the good thing about doing a different event, you know, not only the money part, but it's kind of different every night. One night it might be $60 a person, the next is $120, and then you might do a barbecue for $40 because there's a lot of people. You just never know.
Right. Right.
So it's all different. And some things you think are going to be easy turn out to be a lot more work. Like I said, this one I did tonight, beautiful setup, vintage place, you know, decked out for the holidays, beautiful tree, you know, wine company in there doing their thing. And you get in the kitchen and, well, the two ovens don't even fit a sheet pan.
Fucking A.
So I'm making a Chateaubriand for 25 people and roast the potatoes and all these things that need to go in the oven. And so you have to get creative, you know. It's like, yeah. What? Just work the problem, like I said, and move on. So there's a lot of things that go into it.
I mean, it constantly changes. And Rob, just rough those numbers what I just said. And again, those numbers I just said are just an example. Like, it's not like, you know, I'm not giving dollar amounts for a party. I'm just saying roughly I try to make 50% in my world because it's a lot of work.
No, and it's situational, you know.
100% situational.
Right. Do you have to pay servers? Do you have to rent equipment? Do you have to, you know, do you have to travel? Do you have to, you know, what do you have to do? Do you have to, you know, 2-3 days prepping, you know, that your time is money too. So, right.
And people don't consider also too, just because their party starts at 6 doesn't mean that, you know, I didn't start shopping at 4, you know?
don't show up, and it's like, ta-da!
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes in behind the scenes that nobody knows about.
I say it all the time, man. We're magicians. You know, we're magicians. We come out there. We want to show you that. We want to do magic for you. We don't want you to see behind the scenes, and you don't want to see behind the scenes.
Yeah, you want to be fairly dialed out before you show up to a place, unless it's something, you know, you're going to be in their kitchen for 4 hours, which is rare.
Right.
Usually it's like an hour and a half, and you're ready to start serving.
That's it.
If you're braising something, or if you have a ton of vegetables to chop or whatever it is, you want to do that stuff ahead of time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And what do you think, Rob? I mean, it's one of those things where I think the numbers just totally change depending on the event, right?
It does, man. And it's, you know, you got to look at your market. And, you know, my numbers for, you know, I live on Long Island, and I spend my winters in Stony Brook, my summers out in the Hamptons. My time and what it's worth for me to do a party up in Stony Brook for that that demographic is less than, you know, somebody who's a baller and, you know, renting a house on the ocean in Southampton or East Hampton or Amagansett, and, you know, and they expect different things, and, you know, the work is always the same for us, but if you want to work, you have to price yourself properly for the demographic that you're in.
Yeah, it's just totally, that's all it's based off of, for sure, 100%. So what do you guys think, man, when it comes to doing a holiday party, are there anything that menu items that people request for holiday parties that you just, like, cringe at? You're like, oh, God, no, that sounds terrible. For me, I got to ask this past party I did to, they wanted a beef Wellington. And I was like, oh, fuck, are you kidding me? And, you know, listen, I did it, and I was annoyed about doing it. But after I did it, bro, it was money. It came out amazing. I made the duxelle. The duxelle is the mushroom stuff that goes around. I made that with a little bit of leek and pecans. And, you know, it was amazing. But that was like, when they said that to me, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. So I had to charge for that because that takes a lot of time.
Very festive, though, this time of year.
Right? Right. Look at my Instagram, too, Chef. You get a second. It came out fucking baller, dude.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that I find that a lot, too. It's like some of the things that people request that you don't do all the time, you're like, well, shit. And then you end up doing it. It's like, wow, I'm glad I did it, because
right.
You want to challenge yourself. You don't want to get into a rut while you're doing the same menu over and over, because that's what you did in a restaurant. You know, I mean, I want to do a different menu every night. I mean, there's a few classics that people always love and you throw on there, sure. But it's like, you know, I haven't done sushi in 5 years or even longer. And somebody requested a sushi and sake workshop or whatever the hell it was. And I was like, shit, do I really want to do that? And then I did it. I was like, I'm really glad I did that, because it's fun and it's like something that you don't usually do, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was at with the fucking Wellington. I haven't done it in so long, and I did it, and it came out amazing. And big shout out to my man, Chef Dan, for helping out with that. He popped it in the oven. It came out fantastic, but we did it. And, you know, now I'm making one on Christmas Eve. So I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot how great that is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you guys get hit with this as chefs. Anybody who's not a chef, they're always like, "Well, what do you cook? What do you make?" And you know, at this stage of my life, I'm like, "Whatever you want, like, you know, like
whatever you need me to make, that's what we'll do."
You know, there's only what did they say in culinary school, man? There's like 5 ways to cook everything, and you know, you just got to try and use the right one.
Right. Yo,
what's your specialty?
Yeah, I love what's your specialty. I love what's your specialty.
What's your specialty? Salmon. Well, no.
Yeah.
It's different.
My specialty is roast chicken legs. I hope you like them. Enjoy. do me a quick favor real quick, man. Throw a little plug in there for Chef Kev, man. We haven't done it yet. We've run our mouths. I can't believe we've already been talking for almost half an hour, man.
Absolutely,
yeah. Tell them where they can learn more about Chef Kev.
You can find Chef Kev on Instagram at ChefKevD7920, and also check out his book, Beyond My Chef Coat.
On Amazon, right? What a great holiday gift.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. You can get it on my website, chefkevd.com, as well.
I just want you guys to know, Chief Jeremy Flake from the U.S. Navy is chiming in there. He runs a galley down there in New London. He says, hamburger is my specialty.
It's quite a feat working for the Navy.
There you go, right? Kev, let me ask you, man. So with the holidays coming up, do you do a lot for New Year's? Do you have a big New Year's Eve party this year?
This is the first year in probably 20 years that I'm not working.
My man, amen to that. You and me both. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I have also chose not to work.
Baller. And here's the best part. We won't do anything exciting. We'll all be in bed by 11 o'clock, which is great.
I know.
Absolutely.
Illusions of the ball dropping and champagne toast and noisemakers and ticker tape, and you're really like by 8 o'clock, you're eating a cheese log, like, let's get out of bed.
That's hysterical, man. Hey, Kev, man, last time you and I had talked, you had just got done with the food truck show on Food Network, man. How has that played out for you business-wise? Have you seen any kind of uptick from that?
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, I've been on Food Network 10 times or so now, and for whatever reason, this show...
I just want to point out I've done 12. That's all I'm saying. I'm just pointing that out.
Well, I could
I'm sorry.
DCs and everything else and catch up to you, but I, as far as Food Network goes, it's one of the most watched shows, like, by families. So I have little kids coming up in the airport, you know, talking about, we plugged for you the whole season and this and that. So I definitely get recognized quite a bit by, like, kids, which you never would think would watch the Food Network. They do. And it's been good for business as well.
That's the best part about those things, man, is what you can get out of business. I'm doing a television spot tomorrow, and I'm going to go make cinnamon rolls out of, like, I'm doing a whole thing talking about, like, easy Christmas morning type things, you know, breakfast, and I'm going to show them how to make cinnamon rolls out of puff pastry dough. Like, it's super easy, but, you know, I'll do that, and it'll be amazing how many people will watch it, and they'll, you know, they'll contact me because of it, man. I think even doing a local TV spot like that, it's amazing what you can get from it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do Good Morning Connecticut and CT Style and Roadshow and all that stuff all the time. And generally, I'll get like a couple hits on the website. You know, I saw you make such and such on the show. Are you available for hire to send me recipes and buy a book? So, I mean, it definitely, every little bit helps.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. That's what it's, I've been trying to get Robbie to start doing some local stuff out there in Long Island, man. I think it's really good for what we do.
Yeah, I got to ditch the restaurant first.
That's good for a restaurant too, you know, get the name out there, show them some dishes.
That's true. That's very, very true.
Yeah,
that's the way it goes. Gustavo Emmanuel on Instagram wants to know, when it comes to doing holiday caterings, what's our favorite food to do? Kev, you want to field that one first?
I mean, that goes along like what's your specialty. It's like whatever the client wants. I love to work with local and seasonal stuff, so if that's possible, that's what I like to do. But, I mean, when it comes to cooking for myself, so I'm simple. I like the classics. I want a holiday ham and, like, stuffed shells and, like, super simple, easy food that tastes really good.
Right.
That's my personal opinion. But, I mean, I still love doing the racks of lamb and, the, you know, foie gras and everything else they want, too. So, I mean, there's no right answer. I love doing everything.
No doubt about it. What about you, Rob?
I definitely love it. It's super simple, but I love when I get to somebody's house, if I can, because of where I live, I can often get, you know, I run into somebody who's clammed or scalloped, and especially this time of year with, like, oysters being awesome. You know, the water's cold, all the algae's dead, they're super, like, briny. I love popping open some local oysters or local clams and being like, here, I got these for you from my friend, and, you know, that it just, people are like, oh, I don't really, you know, they've had, you know, clams on the half shell in August when the water's 86 degrees and disgusting. And they're like, oh, these are gross. They taste like ass. And then you give them these, you know, sweet, briny things. They're like, oh my God, these are delicious.
It's funny.
Nothing better than a hot oyster.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's like a website somewhere. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, you can get a hot Carl or you can get a hot oyster, one of the two.
At least the song name, Hot Oyster, something.
Yeah, or a band. We should make a band.
I mean, I got a quick funny story about oysters. I did a show with Food and Wine Festival with Kathy Lee a couple months ago, and she's, you know, she's in her 70s. She's been around a long time. She lives in Greenwich. She does the Today Show. She's worked with a ton of chefs.
You went back to her hotel room. You guys had a great time?
Easy. I haven't got there yet.
Sorry. I like how you said yet.
I had an opportunity to work with her a bunch of times, so she came up on stage while I was doing my demo, and I happened to be doing a watermelon gazpacho with a fresh oyster on top of it. And she, in her 70 years, has never had an oyster, but she said she would do it for me. So she did the shot, kept it in her mouth, ran off stage.
Oh, no.
I was like, holy shit, I just killed Cassie Lee. But she did it as a joke. She came back on. She didn't like it, but she did it. But, I mean, it's definitely an acquired taste for some people, and some people just completely stay away from it.
It's like the story of my wife. She didn't like it, but she did it. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. She'll get pissed at me for saying that. I'm totally kidding, Cole. Oh, that's funny, man. But, yeah, so, I mean, but to have her come on stage for you to do it, that's pretty dope, man. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, she's been great to me. I've done a Today Show with her, and we've done a couple different festivals together, and I've used her wine, and so she just kind of came out of the crowd and jumped up on stage, and I was kind of put her on the spot. It's like, you have to do this. And she was like, my husband Frank tried to get me to do it for 30 years and never did, but I'll do it. And she did it. She didn't like it, but she did it.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, it's funny when you cook for people like that or work with people like that, because I think we put them on such a pedestal that when you actually see them in person and hang with them, they're cool as shit. I mean, look, Guy Fieri, everybody knows, like, we're kind of buddies, and I've had him on the show, and we've done some things, and he's the coolest motherfucker you ever meet. But he's this guy who just seems so attainable. Once you meet him and hang out with him and talk, he's cool as shit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've 99% of the celebrities or athletes I've worked with have been amazing. And yeah, they're just, you find that they're just as happy to, like, see you and talk to you, because in that situation, you know, Chef Plum's type is the rock star. You're the one putting on the party, you're the putting on the show, you're cooking the food. They're just kind of, you know, hanging back and eating and enjoying. So in that situation, they're just as happy that you're there as you are that they're there. So I find that, you know, they've all been pretty great.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, guys. So here's the million-dollar question. So what's been, like a horror story? Like, you went to do a party, and we've all got. I mean, between the three of us, we've probably got close to damn near 75 years experience, I'm guessing. I mean, what's a horror story? What's the worst thing? Like, you go to do a party, maybe not even necessarily a holiday party, but we'll call it a holiday party for the sake of the show tonight. Has been like, oh my god, this party is a fucking disaster.
I got one.
I knew you did. Rob's like, last night, I was cooking in my family's. No, go ahead.
Brand new house.
What part of the world are we in?
We are in Sagaponack.
Okay, that's in the Hamptons, for those of you who don't know.
This house probably cost $50 million.
All right.
And we get there, and we set up. I mean, we have state-of-the-art Wolf equipment. It looked like the showroom. Nothing. I mean, I was pulling the blue plastic off some of the stuff.
Wow.
And we get everything fired up. We got 50 people coming. People are coming early. You know, all our cold hors d'oeuvres are going. And the propane people never hooked up the propane tank.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So we have zero gas.
And what day of the week is this?
This is Saturday night.
Yeah, so the propane people aren't in any hurry to come fill the tank either.
Believe it or not, because the builder was there and he spends so much money with them, they like woke somebody up or got somebody there, like a crew of people there. And about 2 hours into the party, we had, you know, I was cooking on like Weber grills I stole out of like the neighbor's garage.
But you execute it, right? That's what we do.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's not too terrible. That's not too terrible, but...
It is when you're trying to figure... I mean, you have this... It looked like I was in the Wolf showroom. I mean, I couldn't have been more excited to cook in this kitchen. It had every piece of equipment I could ever...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Wow, it had a steamer. It had... the fryer in the counter.
Isn't it funny when you find these houses you go to and like they spend all this money on the kitchen, but then they never touch the equipment? Kev, you seen them, right?
Yeah, I just did one in Boston a couple weeks ago. With it's brand new, never been used. They've lived there for like 6 months already. And they're like, yeah, we just built this kitchen 6 months ago and it's never been used. Well, I mean, do you eat out every night? Or what's the I mean, it's good for me, beautiful new kitchen, but it doesn't make any sense. I cook in my kitchen a couple times a day.
Right.
You know? It's like,
Hey, Kev, I know you said that your sheet pants didn't fit. So an old wise man taught me when I was in my days of catering with Art of Eating. We had a similar scenario. We got to this house. It had what appeared to be a professional oven, and it did not hold any of our sheet pants. And he took the racks out and, like, rolled the aluminum foil, the heavy-duty aluminum foil, and then put the racks back in.
There you go. I mean, that's our job. Nobody really cares.
It was amazing.
they want you to execute no matter what.
Just do the party. Like, and who's going to go complain to the client? Hey, by the way, we don't fit in your oven. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what?
Your party's canceled. Sorry about that. We're not going to be able to cook any food for you tonight.
Yeah. listen, hey, thanks for hiring me, but you know what? I don't think it's going to work. It's not going to work. You don't have enough outlets.
These conditions are deplorable.
There's not enough outlets in your counter, so we're not going to make this happen.
No refunds.
That's right. Oh, and we're going to keep your deposit, so there you go. Listen, Kev, you got a story? You want me to tell a story?
I mean, I got a couple little ones. I mean,
yeah,
tell one. They always work out well because that's what we do. I mean,
of course.
This summer, I had a family well-to-do. The renting Walter Cronkite's house on Nantucket. Want to fly me out. Don't want me to bring any food. They're going to take, they're going to have a concierge buy all the food.
Oh, shit.
And they want me to just show up and grill. And they've assured me that they have a grill that works.
That sounds so easy. It's easy, right? Just show up, just grill, right? That's easy.
I timeline because I got to get on a plane and it's on an island. You only have so much time to get there. So I show up, no grill. There was a grill. Grill didn't work at all.
Of course not.
So I have to run, knocking on neighbor's door. You got a grill? Hey, you want to help me carry it over next? So, I mean, we find a grill. And
you're hiring neighbors.
But for a half hour stretch, you're like, what the fuck am I going to do? You flew me out here to grill. You don't have a grill. So, I mean, you just figure it out.
And they don't care. They don't have a grill, right?
You think they care? Dinner's at 6.
Yeah, we'll see you at 6.
Dinner's at 6. Make it happen.
But you don't have a grill. Oh, no. You don't see the grill outside? Yeah, that's not a grill. That's a pool-like thing. What are you talking about? That's not a grill.
Yeah, so I used the neighbor's grill, which was like 500 yards away. You know, rusted out wheels, so you can't wheel it over. So I had to grill over there, throw everything on platters, run the 500 yards, set everything up, run back, make sure stuff's not burning. But nobody knew any different except maybe one person from the party because I was like running across the street. But other than that, they don't need to know.
Yeah, but that's how you maintain that Adonis-like figure you have, brother.
You have to.
I was wondering how you stayed so fit.
Never let them sweat.
That's right. Hey, so I was doing a holiday party just recently, as a matter of fact. It was a holiday lunch party. And it's the second year in a row I've done this particular party, and it ends up being a double. I do a lunch party in the day, then I do a dinner party at night. And so the first year I was doing this party, we put together the menu. It's very simple, salads, it's like a bunch of women who come over, and we do salads, and it's a really simple party. It truly is. It's they come in quick, they eat, they chit chat for a little bit, they act like they're going to eat chocolate, and they don't, and they leave, right? So I know what's going to happen at the party, so, I'm prepared. So I get all the salads out. Everything looks beautiful. Big-ass display, beautiful-looking salads. Like, we've got a beautiful, shrimp and, rice noodles with, seared shiitake mushrooms that have a perfect sear on them and beautiful, whole salmon on a platter, with greens and lentils. And it's really colorful. It looks great, right? So what happens is... people are eating. They're loving the food. But the principal at the party... now all of a sudden wants to be the chef of the party, right? So could care less up to this point. Wants nothing to do with it. But now all of a sudden she wants to be the hostess and walk around and serve stuff and carry things and be a part of everything. So she picks up the salmon plate, fellas, and she's walking around with this giant silver platter of salmon with, pomegranate seeds and the lentils and arugula. It's beautiful. I mean, it looks stunning. It's really great. She's walking around with it, and she's trying to serve people who were standing in a hallway because she thinks that she should be serving things as the host. What she doesn't realize is that you shouldn't walk around with a platter that arguably could weigh as much as you do, right? I mean, this isn't like some cheap platter. This is like a really like silver, like expensive fucking platter. So she's walking around with the platter, and she's taking the thing and like cutting off a piece of salmon and trying to like slide it on plates for people and shit. You all know what happens here, right? Loud bang, loud slam, salmon's on the floor. Right? On the floor, salad's on the floor. Women are mortified. Mortified. She comes in the back to me and is fucking pissed, right? I didn't
it's
pick
your
the
fault.
Oh fuck, it's my fault, right? And she's like, "Do we have any more salmon?" I'm like, "No. I mean, that was like I bought three sides and they're on there. It looked great and we already went through one and that was the second one. So, I don't have any more salmon. Like this is I'm not a restaurant. Like I don't have a walk-in cooler full of salmon, you know? Like I bought what we needed for the party, and you thought it'd be a good idea to throw it on the floor. Which, hey, your party, up to you, whatever you want to do. But I was like, I don't. And so, you know, but of course I didn't say that. You guys know that. So I'm like, oh, shit, we don't. Let me see what we can put together. So I'm putting the platters together. I have the girls go over and start cleaning up the mess. And, of course, she's not cleaning up anything, right? Rest of the party, she is irate and pissed. And I get it. Like, you're going to be a little embarrassed by all that. But she's basically taking it out on me. She calls me to do the party again the next year. And I said, no. And she's like, oh, why not? And I was like, I'm out of salmon. And I said that shit for real. And she actually laughed. And I thought that was, I was like, all right, you laughed at that. But she was a bitch to me about that, man. I'm like, you're the one that threw the fucking salmon on the floor. But nonetheless, like, you still got to fix it, right? So I ended up putting together a bigger tray, like, with chicken and some shrimp. So it just looked like it was a different salad at that point. But for fuck's sake, I mean, she's throwing $28 a pound fucking line caught salmon on the floor. Come on, dude. And these sides I had, I mean, they were probably 2 4.5 pound sides on the platter.
Yeah, I mean, that you hit the nail right on the head. They want you to be a magician. Something like that's happened. Well, you got a backup, right? Well, you brought more food, right? Well, you just dropped half of what I brought. Why, you know, I'm not going to bring three extra coolers in case the hostess wants to take over and drop stuff on the floor. I mean, they just want you to perform and make it happen.
And literally, in my experience of doing this stuff, had I known that she was thinking about, oh, I'm going to walk around and serve, I actually probably would have brought a little extra at that point. Because you just never know what's going to happen. But not thinking she's going to drop it, but thinking like she's not going to serve the right portion size. Like, I better have a little bit of backup. Just like that, you know. But, dude, it's amazing what people want you to do. And literally, that was a holiday party. That was shit was just, come on, man, really? I keep talking about our friend Chief Jeremy. He's chiming in. He goes, $28 salmon. I eat that shit off the floor, son. It's true. It was line caught, beautiful. It was delicious salmon. It's really great, but fuck, man. I mean, I couldn't believe she threw it on the floor.
Yeah, just let us do our job. Let the server do their job. Let the chefs do their job. We're here so you don't have to do it. That's the whole point.
Right. That's it. That's it, man. That's totally it. I mean, you're hiring us, so you don't have to do it, man. Come on, what's one more terrible horror story for a party, you guys? Give me one more.
So when I get to the house in the kitchen, I get all my mise en place out. I put this hors d'oeuvre, everything that goes with that hors d'oeuvre in this section and that section, and I'm in this house in Southampton. Younger hedge fund kids. They went wine tasting all day, and there's the one drunk girl, and she comes in and smashes, like trips and smashes two wine glasses over everything.
Oh shit!
Like there's
the
glass over the food.
Oh
yeah, I have everything. It's like it hit some part of every. It was a cocktail party, and there was just like tiny little slivers of glass everywhere, and I was like,
"Over."
Yeah, I was like, "I can't serve any." They're like, "No, it's fine. We'll just pick it out." I'm like, "It's not fine." I'm like, "I actually don't have a solution to fix this." I'm like, "You're gonna have to just hold on. I'm gonna let me see what I can do and make some calls and." I ended up having to run out and go and shop and half-ass throw things together that I would never serve necessarily, just so that there was food and that there could be an event. But the whole party was just like so pissed at this one girl.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet.
Yeah,
I mean, like, what are you going to do at that point, right?
I mean, I don't know if you guys have anything that you would have done differently. I would love to hear, because I was like, you got me. Game over.
I don't know what you do differently. You just go, do you guys like sushi? Yeah.
I mean, I've done a few of those bachelorette parties where they've done the wine tastings all day, and they're always an adventure. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. That's for damn sure. So listen, I got a great story here to tell you that, Chief, and by the way, I guess Chief's one of our main contacts for our Navy event we got coming up, and Kev, we'll talk about that later on, man. But I definitely think this summer, by the way, gentlemen, we should have Chef Kev come out, man. We should do something out on the beach there in Montauk, a nice little like dinner situation, and build something out on the beach for a kitchen. It'd be a lot of fun.
100%.
I'm down.
We have a great time doing that shit, man. It would be a lot of fun. But so our buddy, who's been checking the show out the whole time here, our friend Chief Jeremy Flake from the Navy, he just chimed in this. He says he was cooking dinner for 160 people on a submarine when all of a sudden they did an emergency deep, which is a 45-degree down angle. Ugh. All the food and grease went forward into the oven coils. He says, he goes, it was a little smoky, and we all enjoyed sandwiches.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's terrible, man. And I'll tell you what, we're gonna do this program live actually from the Navy event on the 28th. You guys should check it out. Kev, if you're around, man, I'll send you the link. You gotta check it out. We're gonna be hanging out with the guys from the Navy. It should be a lot of fun. But right now, I wanna bring on here our buddy Chef Dan Monroe is checking in. He's got a couple of stories himself, man. He works in the a different aspect of the business, gentlemen. He's executive chef of a very large, fantastic gourmet grocery store. And they do a ton of catering out of there. And he was telling me some stories today. And I was like, Jesus Christ, you got to tell these stories. Danny, what up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
You know, hanging out, telling stories and shit, running our mouths with Chef Kev and talking to everybody. What are you doing?
I'm just listening to y'all cracking the hell up. It's
it's a fucking story, right? It's the way it goes.
Just thinking about the days. It's been a rough day for me just dealing with this, because I have Christmas stuff going on right now.
Right? That's all it is, man. So, dude, what's the worst thing that happened? Well, tell us a quick story about one of the things that happened to you today. I mean, I don't want to sell anybody down the road. Don't give any names out, but this is great, Kev. You're going to fucking die. Go ahead. Tell them the story, brother.
Well, just today I had, you know, we're trying to get all this stuff situated. I got 100 pounds of spinach that came in for orders we have to do, and all of it is bad. Oh. And I'm like, yo, what? We need the spinach. And they're like, all right. So I'm trying to get the guy to bring it. I had to have the company deliver us another 100 pounds of spinach to take out the spinach that we had so that we could have the spinach. Just working through that, I'm like, all right, the other company who's supposed to deliver 50 pounds of Gruyere cheese, the guy, delivery guy, comes and goes, I'm sorry, cheese isn't on the truck. I mean, what do you mean the cheese isn't on the truck? Oh, I don't know. I need the cheese. Like, it's got to be somewhere. It's on the truck or you left it somewhere. So he had to actually go to another store, get it, come back so that we can get the cheese, because we had we have 80 half pans of potato gratin that we need to do in the next couple of days.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
So and it's just, you know, rifling through all that stuff is just madness.
Kev, let me ask you, man, you go to a party, brother, how many times have you gotten there and actually been like, fuck, I forgot to buy whatever, on just complete brain lapse and didn't buy it?
Happens a few times, but it's generally like something little, and
right,
you'd be surprised what, you know, like something you can substitute. But for the most part, I mean, I go over things a half a dozen times before I get in my head. And like when I'm driving, I'll think of something before I get there, stop and grab it. Usually, 9 times out of 10, I remember. But what, you know, if it's like a something you forgot your dressing in the fridge or something like that, I mean, those kind of things you can fix on the fly, but
right,
for the most part, like proteins or anything like that, they're usually there.
Yo, I totally forgot one time. It's a true story. I was doing a bachelorette party in the Hamptons. I went out there. I was excited to go. It was going to be a great party. Had all the food, amazing menu. It was dope as fuck. I get almost all the way there and realize I didn't pick the wine up in my hometown of Newtown. Yeah. And they ordered a very specific set of wine. They ordered it. I said, yeah, let me get it. I'm happy to pick it up. I'll call my wine guy. We can get it. He gets it all. He's like, yeah, I got this for you. No big deal. I'm supposed to pick it up. I figure on the way when I leave, I'll stop by the wine store. I'll pick up the wine, head out to the party. yo, I get literally almost all the way there, and I realize I don't have the fucking wine, and I can't go back. I'm not going to have time. So I ended up having to go to another store out in Long Island, and they didn't have what I was looking for, so I did the best I could, and that's embarrassing. When you know, it's just a fuck up. It's just a brain fuck up. You completely forgot. You had too much going on. You fucking forgot. And I had to swallow that one, man. I bought like half the wine for them on that.
Sure. You know, after a few bottles, they were feeling okay. It wasn't like they had no wine, right? So, I mean, it wasn't. I mean, I just thought of one too. I was a chef at a catering company in Newport for a bunch of years, and I was on like 15, 16 hour days in a row. I was, you know, we had a huge party for like 500 the next day, and we're doing this huge barbecue, and we work with this meat company who sends us like chicken and eights, right?
Right.
All cut up, ready to go for us to barbecue and all that. I get back to the shop midnight from this huge party, you know, checking everything for the next day. I open up the chicken and I have like 50 whole chickens.
Oh shit!
So I'm back in the kitchen midnight, whacking out chickens for the next day.
But break them down.
Bodies and, you know, your body's hurting. You just want, but you make it happen. Nobody knows the difference, you know,
right,
except for you. Just little things like that nobody knows about. It's like, just make it happen.
You just got to make it happen. What about you, Rob? What's something? Have you ever forgot something?
Oh, hell yeah, man. I in my earlier days, I forget shit all the time. It's always the same thing, man. I usually, like you were saying, I have everything ready, and you know, you're like almost over prepared. You're like, okay, I'm gonna put this here because I won't forget it.
Right.
Like, in hindsight, you're like, why the fuck would I put that there? You know, you walk out without one bag. You grab your coolers, and you know, maybe you leave. But like Kev was saying, it's usually something that, you know, you can substitute or find at the people's house.
It's a good thing about working at somebody's house, because they usually have stuff, yeah, you know?
So
they just have stuff in there. Dan, let me ask you, man. You and I recently, Dan came and Chef de Cuisine to party for me this past weekend, man. And it was a great party, wouldn't I think that it went phenomenal. What do you think makes a great party? What do you think makes it amazing for the client? Like, what are some of those little things that go above and beyond?
I think it's just the food is super important, and I think they wouldn't have you there if your food wasn't going to be exceptional.
Right.
But I think it's having your ear. They want to be able to express to them. Like, this guy came up to me and was like, what's your favorite oven? And I'm like, what? He's like, oh, I just got this oven, and I'm really excited about it. They got the stove. It has six burners. And I'm like, oh. And he just wanted to talk to me about it. And
that
I think
personal
having
touch.
That little conversation with people. I was standing there cutting the tenderloin, and you know, people are coming up and like, oh, you know, this is great, and they just have little questions and stuff like that. And I think that it's important that you're there for everybody. And I think the host will see you there for other guests, and I think they'll appreciate that their guests, because they want their guests to feel important, because then it'll in turn make them feel important.
No doubt about it. Kev, what do you think, man? What do you think makes the party amazing for a client?
Yeah, I mean, the food is no doubt the main attraction, but what I find is that you make it very interactive, and you become a part of the party. Where back in the day, you know, nobody wanted to know who the chef was, nobody cared.
No doubt.
These days, everybody wants to talk to the chef. What are you doing? What do you got coming up? Questions about food. So it becomes like you're not just there to cook the food; you're there to be part of the party, and you make it very interactive, and then, you know, there's 20 other people there that want to have parties, and that's how you grow your business. And you get out there, you talk about every course. How did you do it? Where did you get it from? Like,
right,
you make it an experience rather than, you know, I'm just dropping off the food and taking off.
Well, you know, I think that's how you find private chefs that are, you know, they tend to have a little more personality, a little more, you know, better talkers, you know, can kind of blend into the party like that to make it work. Where, you know, especially some of the restaurant chefs back in the day, I'm not saying everybody, but definitely, you know, I think I could speak for all of us. Our generation of restaurant chefs were guys who were kind of in the kitchen and didn't really want to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, you see, a server comes back and says, so-and-so wants to talk to the chef. Oh, I roll in like, shit, I got to go out to the floor. And now it's something you absolutely have to do.
Yeah, right? It's part of the deal.
now that has spawned one of Chef Plum's favorite things, which are these people who aren't really chefs that just wear chef coats and want to go out and talk to everybody and they can't really cook.
Yeah, I don't like those people. I don't like those people at all. And most people make Dan mad, too. Dan gets really angry at stuff. And the problem with Dan is that Dan, when he looks angry, you can tell he's angry. He kind of looks like a shark when he's angry.
I try to hide it, but there's no hiding. It's there. I mean,
Nah. I love Dan. So there's nothing better than having somebody with you at a party. I think you guys can both attest to this. And Dan, I'm talking highly of you here, brother. You know, when you're a private chef and you have to have help in the kitchen, God, is there anything better than having somebody competent with you? Someone who you can say, "Hey, is that seasoned?" And they say yes, and guess what? It's fucking seasoned. You have to test it. You know it's seasoned. Like, how fucking great is that?
Yeah, there's a handful of guys that you trust, and you know, like, if I work with Plum, I'm not going to have to stand over your shoulder, and vice versa. You just know. And I have there's a group of guys that I work with. It's like, okay, you're on this. You take care of it. I don't even want to look at it, and you know it's going to get done right. And that is a good feeling, because a lot of times it's just you out there right. in the wild.
You know, we're not used to it, man. That's the good thing about private chefs. I'll take private chefs many times over other chefs any day of the week, because they're so used to flying solo. They're so used to being able to get things done. They're so used to being able to solve a problem as opposed to coming up to you and going, "Hey, how come this pepper mill is not working?" Or, "Hey, where's a saute pan?" Because most of the time a private chef is walking the door to begin with and look through every fucking cabinet and knows, at least has a good layout of what's what.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. I've said this before, maybe on your show, but you have to be able to produce. And if you don't, you're not going to get asked back. No. I can get asked to go out on Kevin Bacon's yacht and cook for 20 of his friends. But if I fuck it up and don't perform, you'll never get asked back by him or any of his friends. So you have to first and foremost be a chef and make sure that part of it is on point. And then everything else that you can do adds to your brand and all that kind of stuff. But you have to be able to produce the event and the food. You know, that's the main part. And you have to be able to do that, because you're going to burn out quickly. You'll be done.
No doubt about it.
You forget. You don't, things aren't coming out the way they're supposed to. Nobody's going to ask you back.
No doubt about it, man. The whole point is to be able to be asked back there to do it again. Unless they throw salmon on the floor, then you can just get pissed off at them. That's the way it goes. Hey, Robbie, do another plug there for Kev before we get out of here in a minute, man. I feel bad we haven't plugged him enough.
Yes,
we've been running our mouths so much. It's a problem to get a bunch of chefs running, talking shop. That's what happens.
You can find Chef Kev on Instagram at ChefKevD at 7920. Pick up his book, Beyond My Chef Coat, on Amazon or on his website. The website is chefkevg.com.
Yep.
There you go. I want to point out too, Dan, that our buddy Chief Jeremy Flake is checking in here on the instant feedback, and he's talking about what we're talking about with Dan. I'll say how angry Dan can get. Dan, he wants to point out that he says, and I quote, "Dan's a teddy bear." I'm just throwing that at you. That's what he said.
Right. I'm one of them ferocious teddy bears, you know, the ones that have hidden knives inside. They have shivs inside the teddy bear. You take the head off and there's a knife. Like, that's the kind of teddy bear I am.
You realize this is a top 10 iTunes food show. I don't think you should say shit like that. I'm just throwing that out there.
That I'm a hidden shiv.
That's it. There you go. Check it out, man. What a lot of fun sitting here talking, man, and running our mouths and just talking shop, man. I want to give one piece of advice from each of us before we get on down the road. And, Kev, I appreciate you taking the time to – oh, my God. I'm laughing because the Navy guy just said, LOL, hug central. And I'm kind of – that kind of just fucked me all up. Chief, have a great night. We'll talk to you later, brother. Hey, listen, man. As we get ready to get on down the road and get out of here, and Kev, we appreciate you taking the drive home with us, man, and hanging out. But hopefully, it made the drive a little bit more fun for you. As far as like a good tip for a private chef, a caterer, even a restaurateur who's coming in doing those final holiday parties, man, what's the best tip you'd give them to kind of push through and get through these last couple of days? Go ahead, Kev. You want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, people are always like amazed that I bring all my own equipment with me. I have a black tote that I call a cook box, and it has pretty much everything that you might need. And if you have that with you, you can pretty much pull anything off.
Wait, so talk about what's in the cook box. Tell us a couple things in the cook box.
I got various spices. There's always a cutting board in there, various utensils, a couple different pots and pans that are very versatile, you know, a mixing bowl, like, because you never know. I mean, generally, if somebody can afford a private chef, they have a great kitchen. But I've also walked into places where it's their lake house and the kitchen hasn't been used in a year. Wow. And there's like one burner and a rusty old pot. And so I would say, I mean, that's one way to be prepared. You have that cook box. You obviously got your knives. And, you know, if anything goes wrong or if they don't have something, you're covered. You just cover your ass.
I'm totally stealing that, man. I usually bring a bag of, like, stuff where I've got, like, you know, some quart containers, spatula, like, a couple of spoons, like, stuff like that. But I think bringing, like, one of those, like, you know, plastic totes that has the folding doors on the top and throwing a couple of pans and cutting board, that's a fucking great idea, dude. I'm totally going to steal that.
You should put that in the panty dropper.
Ooh, yes, yes. I do drive a panty dropper, for those of you who don't know. It's a Prius.
How you gonna, well, a small tote.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. yeah, I think that's a good advice, man. Bring one of those so you got yourself covered. Dan, what do you think, man? What's a good piece of advice you give people who are in the business trying to get through those last holiday days here, pushing through, getting towards Christmas?
Well, like, for me, like, just right now, I mean, you just got to think about the end result and why you're doing this. Like, the reason you cook, the reason you put food on the plate is because you want to satisfy people. You want people to be happy. So every time you shortcuts and oh, I want to just get out of here, I just want to get this over with, you got to think about, you know, why are you doing this? Because at the end of the day, you know that, like, for me, I think about all these people. I'm cooking for a lot of people at one time to expect quality on their plate, and I want them to, you know, enjoy their holiday, to feel like, you know, I've touched all these people's homes, and that I have that to stand by. So every time I'm like hurting or it's late, I've been there, you know, 14 hours, and I'm like, God damn it, I want to get the hell out of here. I got to think about, you know, the people that are going to be affected by this most, or reason that I'm doing this. And I think that when you think about that, that's going to make it so much easier for you to just kind of push through and handle it.
That's pretty good advice, man. That's not bad. That's not bad. I like that. Kev, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's great.
I like that, man. That's not bad at all. All right, Robbie, your turn, brother. What do you got?
Just be prepared, man. Go over your stuff. You know, trust in your skills, you know. And hustle, you know. Do it.
I think I will, any day of the week, I'll take experience and technique over passion and drive when it comes to a kitchen. True or false? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat experience. And hopefully the passion comes with that. But, you know, being in these situations over and over and over again is what makes you so good at it.
Right.
It's tough to beat experience.
Experience and technique are undefeated, brother. I don't think anyone's ever beat them. I had a buddy of mine posted something about passion versus experience technique, and it bothered me. I was like, yeah, you need to get some more experience, brother, because if you have experience, you would never say that.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, not to talk bad about passion, because it's important to have, but
for
if
sure.
I could be a passionate skier and tumble all the way down the mountain, and I could be the most passionate in the world. It doesn't mean I'm going to be in the Olympics. You know, you got to get your technique down before you can get there and perform at a high level.
Right. And the truth about it, the matter is, when it comes to our business, when you're on day six of doubles doing holiday parties and you still got to do one more for 50 that night, I'm pretty sure your passion's out the fucking window and you're riding on your experience and technique to get through that fucking night.
Autopilot.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I want to play devil's advocate for a minute and just say that, you know, sometimes experience isn't always the best, because sometimes people have been doing it for too long, and, you know, they're at a point where they're just going through the motions, and when you expect that extra, when you want that little more, they'll kind of step back instead of step forward. So sometimes if you're a good leader, you could take somebody with passion who wants to learn and guide them and say, hey, check this out, we need to do this, we need to do that. And if they got enough behind them, they're with you. If you have somebody that's over experienced, has been doing it for years and years and years, they'll get to the point to where everything you tell them, they're gonna fight you on, and you're just gonna be like, you know what, you think you know better, but, you know, at this point in time, you need to, you know, just sit back and listen. And I'm dealing with that right now. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of truth to that too, but I just think that, I don't know, I still lean on it, man. Experience and technique are undefeated. Like, And I think it's key to say experience and technique, because if you have great technique, you're not going to get complacent. You lean on that technique. Okay. You know, you lean on that technique.
I think, you know, you want to have a good mix of all. It's still important to be passionate 100%, but you got to get your technique down, because if at the end of the day, if you're not good at what you do, it doesn't matter. I mean, like I said, it can be anything. You're a race car driver, you're a basketball player. You can be passionate, but it doesn't mean that you can play in the NBA.
You know, I mean, Kev, you should run for a political office. That was a very, like, PC answer. Well, I'm fucking with you, man. I'm fucking with you.
You got to hone your craft and have the technique down to be able to perform at a high level. You can't just be passionate. It's not. I mean, that's awesome and that's great to have that behind you, but that's not going to execute an event for you. I mean, you're going to push through, but it's not. You know, you need to know what you're doing first,
my man,
and then you know, stay passionate about it as well. I'm not trying to be political, but I think it's like a perfect storm. If you can have it all, then you're good to go.
Yeah, but I think it all goes hand in hand. It goes experience, technique, bring, you know, you don't have that experience, technique without the passion.
Without the passion. You're not doing this if you don't have passion, because right. You don't want to do this. If you're not passionate about it, if you're not feeling it, it's not in your heart. Well,
bro, when we were doing that gig Saturday night, man, I was coming off a crazy-ass long week, and I kind of was running on autopilot at that point, but when we pulled that Wellington out the oven, I was fucking
charged
geeked,
up.
Wasn't I?
Charged up.
I was fucking, that shit is baller. I was fucking losing my mind off that shit. And then when the client comes up, when the client comes up to you and when you cut into it and the client goes, oh, you're just showing off now, that shit makes you feel awesome, you know?
Yeah, it makes it worth it.
Fuck yeah. All right, Robbie, passion and drive or experience and technique?
I'm gonna switch this up a little bit because I think
I'm the host. What are you doing?
On all areas that we've come with.
You can't fucking change
the
show.
That conversation. But I think that we need to say something to the customers and the clients out there, and know that, you know, we threw numbers out there or percentages of numbers that can make you figure out what
roughly.
We're charging for parties, and people, you get often you get what you pay for. So if you find some guy who's willing to do your party for a third of what I'm willing to do it for, or half of what I'm willing to do it for, there's a reason.
That's a good point, man. That's a damn good point. That is a damn good point.
You know,
right there.
And some of what you're paying for is my experience and my passion and my drive, but you're also paying for the fact that I've thought this all through. I've been through it. I'm going to be able to figure out what to do if you drop the salmon on the floor or, you know,
that's a good point,
you're paying for that.
That's a good point. Kev, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You get what you pay for. You know, it's like you buy the cheapest car, it's going to break down.
There
you know, you don't want to go just to save a couple bucks. You want to go with that experience and those people that are going to pull it off for you. You don't have to worry about it, especially in the holidays. I don't have to worry about, is the chef going to show up late? Is the food going to be good? But you want to go with somebody who you know is going to just kill it. And because you're paying X amount of money, you know, I think I 100% agree that you get what you pay for.
There you go. Dan, what do you got, man? You got any final thoughts on that?
No, I'm 100%. I'm always that way. I'm that way with everything, not just food. But, I mean, yeah, you get what you pay for. If you're going to be cheap, you're going to get cheap food. If you're going to cop out and just, oh, I don't want to come out of pocket for this because you think it's going to be cheaper in the end, you're just going to be mad because you're going to not be satisfied. You're going to wish that you went with what was better. It's always going to be that way. That's 100%.
That's it, man. That's it. I think you guys are all. I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I think everybody's kind of on the same page with that for sure, man. I mean, listen, it's one of those things when it comes to food. If you're going to be cheap about it, you're going to get what you pay for. No doubt about it, right? I mean, it's that freaking simple. I think it's that simple. Kev, are you close, man? You close to home?
I'm just pulling into town right now.
My man. All right, listen. We're going to wrap this program up. You guys can follow. Always calling himself Chef Daniel now on Instagram. Chef Dan, it's Chef the number one above all on Instagram. It's Chef the number one above all on Instagram. Make sure you check him out there. Dan, we've got some crazy shit happening for this Navy event. Dan's coming out with us. He's been our man in charge of food. He's done a fucking hell of a job. I'm so proud of him and happy to have him on our team. Bro, you've crushed it. We're going to announce tomorrow that on Instagram that Nick Fratiani from American Idol is coming. We're really excited about that. Thank you for all your help, brother. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you, man. I can't wait. I'm super excited to take you back to my Army days.
There you go. Hey, this, you're a big reason this whole thing is happening, brother. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I can't wait. I've been thinking about it for the last 2 weeks, and I can't wait.
There you go. Hey, man, listen, have a great Christmas with the family, man. I'll talk to you on down the road. All right, brother?
All right, thanks. All right, fellas, take it easy.
All right, there he goes. That's Chef Dan Monroe. He's doing a great job for us. We appreciate all his help. Kev, bro, I love talking to you, man. You're such an easy guy to talk to. Isn't he easy to talk to, Rob? Like, the guy's fucking great.
He is, absolutely. And make sure you check him out on Chef Kev D 7920. Pick up his book, Beyond the Chef Coat, on Amazon or on his website. And, man, it was really nice talking to you tonight. And I look forward to getting together with you this summer. Maybe we can put together an event or something.
Absolutely.
And Kev, brother, I'm looking forward to seeing you in January at the Sun, Wine, and Food Fest, man. We're going to have a great time. We're going to broadcast live. You got to come hang out with us.
Yeah, we both got demos on Friday nights. A new session because they have the new section of the Mohegan Sun that we're going to be at this year. So the Friday night, you and I have a couple demos and some fun stuff going on leading into the big weekend.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm pretty sure there'll be beverages to be drank. I think that's probably going to happen.
I'm going to say at least a few.
At least a few. I'm going to guess probably more than three. Maybe I'm shooting in the dark, Kev. I don't know, but maybe more than three. That's all I'm saying.
I got to tell you, that Saturday night VIP party at Avalon is one of the best ever.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, brother. It's a lot of fun. Well, hey, man, awesome to hear your voice. Merry Christmas to you and the family, and looking forward to seeing you in January, brother. It's been too long.
All right, Merry Christmas, guys.
All right, brother, take care. We'll check you out down the road, brother. All right, there he goes, one only Chef Kev D. That motherfucker's awesome, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm bummed I didn't get to connect with you guys this summer.
Well, we'll make something happen for sure. The good news is about summer is that we always have more. Rob, you always do a great job when you come on here, man. I appreciate you coming on and helping us out.
Oh, no worries, man. My pleasure.
I mean, I know that you have this thing with Dave, and you guys are kind of
I
like,
love Dave.
Well, you're kind of mortal enemies. It's okay.
No, we're not mortal enemies.
No, well, you got to run the gimmick.
We hate you, Plum.
You got to run the gimmick. Oh, it's against me. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
You guys are going to fucking double cross me. Well, look, the fun part is this, is that this week on the show, fucking the chief is texting me again, this motherfucker. The fun part about this whole thing is we're not going to have a show Monday or Tuesday because it's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, obviously. But what we are going to do, and we're really excited to announce, our Navy event is next Friday night. Santa Q is happening in New London at the sub base with the U.S. Navy. We're cooking for fucking 600 people. Myself, Chef Dan, who was just on the program tonight, Chef Rob, who's here right now, and of course, Chef Jeff Perazzi. Grill Mama's coming through to help us out. Our good friend Chef Michelle Regustis from the Food Network is part of the crew. Our buddy and of course co-host here, the one and only Chef Dave, is going to be part of the crew. We got our buddy Antonio Olive Jr. from Backdraft Barbecue is coming through. Big Green Egg has sent us smokers, Rob. They sent us fucking three extra large Big Green Eggs to leave
awesome.
With the U.S. Navy. Two Roads Brewing Company has given us beer. Fucking, I mean, it's amazing what's happening. Everyone is being a part of this and helping us give this gift. But to top off the entire thing, the brand new TV show, which we'll talk about that night, we'll make it official then. Random Acts of Cooking is the first episode is being shot with the U.S. Navy, and we're going to finish off the entire night with a live broadcast, the 2-hour Chef-tacular with the U.S. Navy here on Plum Left Foods Live. We're going to have everybody who's going to be there. We've even got Nick. I got to call him Chef Nick Fradiani from American Idol is going to be there. He's going to perform live. He's going to be here on the program. We've got two other great performers, Johnny Debit, and of course the man Faraz. We got Chef Rob, Chef Dave. We got Chef Jeff, Chef Michelle, Grill Mama, Antonio Olive Jr., the U.S. Navy. This event's going to be off the fucking chain. I can't wait to broadcast the 2-hour Plum Love Foods holiday special, Chef-tacular live with the U.S. Navy with you, my brother.
Santa Q.
It's happening live. Yeah, we're going to live broadcast that shit. Fucking, that's crazy.
I was super pumped, man. I got a couple pictures come through on text and, you know, the minivan filled with all the root vegetables and the trailer with all the charcoal and stuff on it and the big green eggs, which is awesome.
How amazing is that? And we're doing two pigs in China boxes. Like, fucking A.
Yeah, man. It's going to be killer.
Looking forward to it, man. I couldn't think of a better group of guys to have with me, guys and gals. Happy you're going to be there. Chief Jeremy's going to be there. I think we're going to make him the official co-host that night, I think.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Our buddies from Ergo Chef are coming down. You'll see. It's going to be nuts. I think we're going to have a cook-off live on the show between two of the galley cooks, and all they get to use is air fryers.
Okay.
It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, I think we should probably have them use a big green egg.
Oh, yeah, that would probably work, too. Well, maybe there's... Well, we're going to be inside. We'll have to figure that out. Logistics, man. Logistics.
They got to run outside, man. It's fine.
All right. Well, I can't wait to watch them run. Hopefully it doesn't snow. If it snows, that really fuck up everything. I'm glad I decided that we should do this event in December. That was a great idea in the Northeast.
I think we're pretty safe, man. It's looking like it's going to be like 60 degrees tomorrow. It's supposed to stay warm.
Well, I hope that's the case. Robbie, I really appreciate you coming on tonight, man, and helping us out, brother. Thank you so much for coming on here and co-hosting.
No worries, man.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. Merry Christmas. Take care of your family. Love each other. Smile at people. And we'll see you guys on Friday. Chef Tack here with the Navy. Santa Q. Peace.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.